Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grow My Officiant Business Podcast. My name is Chad Muncy, and I am delighted that you decided to join me today. This is the podcast where we talk about how to become the best officiant and how to create the business of your dreams. Let's get started. Hey, everybody, welcome to Grow My Officiant Business. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Please subscribe, review, and comment, and that helps me keep producing content. Let's jump right in. Today, I want to discuss something that I hear way too often. People tell me I've got couples that call me, and then we have a great meeting. I give them a very good and very fair price. Then we hang up the phone. They say they're going to call me back, and I just never hear from them again. So, Chad, what is wrong? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my business? Nothing is wrong with you. Nothing that you're doing is wrong when you're talking to them. Be yourself. Keep your personality in the conversation. None of that is wrong. I'm going to go over the reasons and the things that you can take a look at. It's always good to look back on your business, look back on the things that you've set up and progress. And as you evolve, you might need to change some things. So today I'm going to go over some things for you to simply take a look at, and you may need to adjust. So the big question, is it you? Is it the price you're giving them? Is it that they don't like you? Well, it's probably not. But let's go in order and talk about, first of all, some things that are at the top of the list when it comes to what couples pay attention to for your first conversation, what couples are looking for, and things that might throw them off a little bit if they're not done correctly. So first of all, I want to talk about responsiveness. Responsiveness. Next, we're going to talk about personality. I'm going to go through all of these, and then we're going to go in deep. We're going to do a really big deep dive. So first, responsiveness, next, personality, next, reviews, then your website, then social media, then your location, and then your price. Now, don't base the definition and what you think I'm going to say off of the words that I'm saying. I might say something different. I might suggest that you do something different when looking at each one of these. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, these are in order. So price is last on the list. And I know you're like, what? Price is least important? Yes, price in this list is least important. If you're a good fit, it won't matter if you're a little less, you're a little more. Usually it won't even matter if you're the most expensive, if you are a great fit for that couple. So price is last on the list. Now, I have a question. Are you adjusting your services as you go along, and time kind of adjusts your business, and the type of customer you started with might not be the type of customer that you have right now. So are you adjusting your services and your offerings as you get more clients and as you learn what those clients are seeking, what those clients are looking for in your particular area? Are you adjusting? If you're not, then you're shooting yourself in the foot, and we've just found the exact problem. So I'm going to talk about one word, and that word is flexibility. Here is the word that people get stuck on in business. Businesses of all types, they have this. You've heard of people say you're hard-headed. Well, business owners more often than not get hard-headed and stuck in their ways and are like, hey, I don't want to change my prices. I don't want to change my website's working just like it is. My social media has been fine. All of this has been fine. It's been working like this for 5 years. So I don't want to change anything. I don't want to mess it up. The problem is the world around you is adjusting and becoming flexible, and things change, and then your business doesn't change. And you may have just set it up wrong if you've just set up your business. If you haven't been doing it but a year, you may have just set some of these things up wrong or not done some of these things. So it's not, your business is not accelerating and growing like it should. So we're going to talk about flexibility, business flexibility. So what is this? It is a business's ability to adapt to new circumstances as things around that business changes. You've got to be able to bend without breaking. I'll use that analogy. The things that I listed just a moment ago, these are the things that couples pay attention to, and you should pay attention to as your business evolves. You also need to have some flexibility with each customer, each type of customer. You should be learning as you get new customers what they want and what the other customers didn't want and how they contacted you and how they liked to pay. You should be learning from all of these. I have had students in the past that wanted a set it and forget it type of business and type of services and type of offerings. I want to set them and that's how they're going to be. And even my pricing, I just want to set it and forget it. The problem is their competition and your competition is changing. They're evolving. And if they're not, they're getting left behind just like yours is if you're not changing and evolving, because clients' requirements change, technology changes, the way people do things online change. So you've got to be flexible. So the question is, how can you update your business's flexibility? Let's go over each one of these in detail so that you can understand fully what each one of these means, what I'm talking about, and the things that you might can do. So I'm going to ask you some questions when we talk about each of these. Let's dive in. First of all, responsiveness. Now, when I say responsiveness, I'm talking about how you respond to a customer, how fast you respond to a customer, how you communicate when you're responding to a customer, all of those things. I want you to think through this. A question that you might want to think about is, what tools are you using? When someone contacts you, how are they contacting you? Are they using the phone? Are they texting you? Are they shooting you an email? Are they filling something out on your website? What tools do you use? A lot of times people get stuck into using one tool and they don't realize people are reaching out to them on Facebook Messenger and it's going in the, you all know what I'm talking about. You go on Facebook Messenger and you message somebody. If you've never talked to them before, it goes in this little secret folder and you've got to go find that folder that says new messages or message requests is what it says. So people might be contacting you through there. You don't even know it. People might be contacting you through Instagram Messenger. People might be contacting you through an email or some service you signed up long ago. If you've got a free The Knot account and you don't even know about it, you need to make sure and manage all the types of communication that you have. Write them down on a sheet so that you can make sure those things are getting checked regularly. Now, if you've already done that, great job. But you need to consider, how fast are you responding? A lot of these tools, such as Facebook Messenger, when you're using it for a business, will allow you to set up an automation where you don't even have to respond. It literally will respond for you. And you can set up 5, 6, 7, I forget how many it is, but you can set up automated questions. So if they say, where are you located? It automatically responds to that. Or if they say, I'd like to see some prices, you can automatically respond to that and you don't even have to say anything. It just sends them a price list. These are some things you need to look at because automation is a big deal. I use something called HoneyBook, and when someone fills a contact form out on my website, it automatically responds to them so they know that I've seen it. They know I'm considering looking at the date and making sure I check on that, and I'm going to get back to them within that 24-hour period that I have set up in my policies. I want to get back to people within 24 hours. I would like to contact them within an hour after they contact me and at least let them know that I've seen their message. So how fast are you responding? Another one, if you're setting up automations, make sure that you can actually respond within that 24-hour period. You need to be able to get notified. And sometimes I've had students that they set these automations up and they don't get notified. They forget to set the notification up to tell them through Messenger or in their email and say, hey, you've got a message, respond. You've got to make sure all of the notifications are set. So my suggestion to you is, in responsiveness, make sure you have a list of all the ways people can contact you and that you are on top of it. And you know that you've got all the notifications set up, you have the automation set up, and you've built a system of responsiveness so that people know that you're going to get back to them and people do not immediately go. For every hour that you don't respond, you risk someone going to competition. When they reach out to you, they are online shopping. So if they go to you and then you don't respond within 10, 15 minutes, they've probably already gone and found someone else and they might be shopping. But if you respond quickly, then that stops them for a moment and they say, oh, and then you can start a conversation with them. So responsiveness, look into your responsiveness. Next, personality. I want to talk about your personality. And I know when you talk to people on the phone, your personality shines through. I know that if you're a happy-go-lucky person, that's going to shine through on the phone. But what happens when someone goes to your website and that's all they go to? They go to your website, they're price checking, they're going to fill out a form, and you have an opportunity to capture them with your personality. Does that shine through on your website? Is there a video? Sometimes it's as simple as recording a video of yourself and just being honest with people and talking to them about you, what you're passionate about, and telling them, hey, I would really like to talk to you soon. Fill out the form below and I promise I'll get back to you. If you can't get me by filling out the form below within an hour, you don't hear from me, text me on this number and give them some options, but tell them, hey, if you don't get me, I really want to talk to you, and let your personality show through. Record yourself, put that right on your website, put it on social, become somebody on social media, an officiant that people really relate to and they want to be a part of your business. And even if I'm not married yet, I'm thinking about getting married in the future and I see you online on social, I'm like, man, this is an awesome person. I see their personality. Now you're not going to have that connection with everybody, but the people you're supposed to have the connection to by them seeing your personality, if they don't see it online on your website or on social media, then they're not going to connect with you. It doesn't come through in a form. They can't read your personality. It needs to shine through. So make those videos, put it on your website, put it on social, be active on social media. You just create that desire for newlyweds to become a fan of yours, a fan of you as an officiant, as a wedding professional, before they get engaged. So they know, I want that person to marry me. Man, I've seen other people and other people's stories, and I've seen their personality, and that's who I want to marry me. Next, reviews. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I've got reviews. I've got very good reviews. How can that help me? How can that help people pick me and want to go with me and choose my services? You ask for reviews. How easy is it for people to actually leave reviews? I want you to think about this, and I want you to correct any problem. I want you to make it as easy as possible. If you have a Google My Business profile, if you don't and you have a business, shame on you. I'm not getting onto you, but I'm saying you are hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself by not having a Google My Business. It used to be called Google My Business. I'm sorry. It was that for years. Google Business Profile. You need to go online, get a Google Business Profile. It is free and you can be verified on there and people can find you on Google. Now, what I was going to say is there's actually in Google Business Profile a link where you can copy it and put it in your website where people click on a button and it opens the Google Profile review link. It opens the little box so that they can leave you a review right on your website and they don't have to open and go find it and you don't have to tell them exactly how to find it. They just go to your website, click the button. Also, make it easy to leave reviews on multiple platforms, on Facebook, on Google Business Profile, if you're on the Wedding Wire or The Knot, make sure they can leave you those reviews and there's links to that and you make it easy. Answer that question and that's going to help you tremendously. How easy is it for people to leave you a review? Can they leave it on multiple platforms? And what do they get if they leave you a review? Sometimes a $5 Starbucks gift card is really enticing if I've already had someone do something for me and it says, hey, I would love to send you this $5 Starbucks gift card. You know, you're like, hey, that's bribing them. No, it's just put that on your website. If you hire me and you have experienced my services, I would appreciate a review. Let me know when you leave me a review and I'll send you a gift card. I would do it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And the point is to grow your reviews. And people might say, wait a minute, he's enticing people to leave him a good review. No, he's just saying, leave me, or she's saying, leave me a review and I'll send you a card just for leaving the review, because that's how important your feedback is to me. It's all in how you message this thing, but make it easy for people to leave you a review. Okay, on to the next one. Your website. Does your website feel clean? How professional does it look? Shop around and find the websites that you love the most. And it's okay to, you don't want to recreate the wheel. That's what I'm trying to say. It's okay to copy. Don't do exactly what they do, but it's okay to take a piece of someone's design and say, hey, I like the way that's done. I like the way this is done. I'm going to make it my own, but I want mine to kind of reflect that. And if you can, hire somebody that's a professional to create your website. You don't have to go get a $1,000 website or a $2,000 website. You can go on Fiverr and find someone for $200 to create you a really nice website. Make sure it's clean. And remember, less is more. Does your website feel cluttered? Is it hard to find things? If you know that, then fix it. That could be the thing holding you back. If I go to someone's website, just because I've designed websites before and it's a passion of mine. So when I see a website and I'm like, it's cluttery, I tend to leave that. Some people feel like, oh, it's not as good as this guy because the website's cleaner. And it might not be true at all. You might be way better than that person, but you just need to clean up your website. Is it easy to navigate? Is it professional? Answer these questions and fix it if you know that it could be better. If it can be better, make it better. Social media. This is a pet peeve of mine because people are like, Chad, I've got a lot of downtime. My business is not thriving right now. I've done better in the past and I've just got some downtime. I'm trying to figure out what to do. And then I go to their social media and in their downtime, they can't even post on social media. You should be cultivating, an atmosphere on social media that people want to be a part of. People want to be a fan of yours. Even if they're not getting married, they can share it and say, hey, if you're getting married, this is the person for you because look at what they've done. Look at the testimonials. Look, they put out a video once a week talking about their passion and they have these funny stories or whatever you come up with, whatever kind of creativity you come up with to put on your social media. That is what should shine through and it should show you like I talked about earlier. But a lot of people in our downtime aren't even doing it. So cultivate that atmosphere and that fan base on social media. Show your customers, show their happy reactions, show your personality on your social media. This is not rocket science. You know what to do. And if you don't, there are so many videos that talk about from people who are social media managers professionally that talk about what you could do to increase retention and to increase comments and likes and views and all those kinds of things. So social media is a big part of it because it's your networking tool that's free and there's so many different platforms. Check out your social media and correct what you can on that. Next, location. You know, in real estate, they say location, location, location. And that's not far from the truth in every business. And if you're a wedding professional, if you're a wedding officiant, it's even more important because you serve a specific geographical area and location. So you need to make it clear on every platform that you can which areas you serve. And I mean, you should list them out. If you have a Google business profile. There is a spot in there where you can list every county, you can list every city, you can even list the zip codes, and you can pick and tell Google, these are the areas I serve. And if you don't do that, your business is not as far as it can be. I'm just telling you, because Google is one of the primary ways that people are going to find you. Facebook. On Facebook, you can tell Facebook what areas you serve, what areas you are in, and you can very specifically set your geographical target area. So you need to list that. If you have a website, you should create a page. It doesn't have to be a long page, but a small page with the H1 tag at the top. If you don't know what that is, Google building a website, H1 tag, you'll learn a lot. But you should have one on every page. You should have a page for each area that you serve, and you should put a little snippet. If you serve an area called Winston-Salem, you should say Winston-Salem's number one officiant service or elopements or whatever you do, and then you should have a paragraph that talks about serving Winston-Salem and being passionate about being a wedding officiant in Winston-Salem and providing elopement services in Winston-Salem. See what I'm doing? These are keywords with that location. Now, these pages don't have to be visible. When people go on your website, they don't have to be able to find the pages, but they are in your website, and Google can crawl those pages so that if someone's searching on the internet for elopement services in Winston-Salem, your page pops up, they click on it, and they're on that page, and then they go to your website and they look all around. So it leads them to that page. Make sure your location, all of your locations that you serve, are clear everywhere you can do that. The search engine should know you exist. Lastly, price. Remember, I said price wasn't as important as some of these other things, and that is true. However, competitive pricing analysis, that is what goes through a customer's mind when they pull you up on Google and when they compare you to other people's websites and other people's pricing guides. They're going to pull people up and they're going to immediately do what I call a competitive pricing analysis. I'm analyzing how competitive the pricing is, and based on these services, they're very similar. The way to charge more for pricing, and I've got a whole nother video on this. In fact, I'll put it in the description. You can watch my video on pricing. That'll help you tremendously. But really quickly, the way to set yourself apart with pricing is provide incredible services and add more value. Make yours way better and way more valuable. Your packages, make a custom package where they can come in and choose a bunch of these different items, and it's equal with other people's package that doesn't have, you know, but three or four of those items, and you're going to give them five or six. So make your pricing very competitive. How competitive are you for the area? Watch the video in the description. Are you charging too little? Are you charging too much? Ask your past customers. Ask how they felt about your pricing. If they say you could charge way more for your pricing, you should charge a little more. Probably ask a few of them. Ask people that you meet. You might go to church with some people or be a part of some kind of club or a Rotary club or something. Ask people that know that you own this business and know that you're an officiant, how do you think this price is for this service? Would you pay that? Ask people and you will receive knowledge. You'll receive wisdom about that area. So pricing, if that's something that you can adjust or fix, or if you haven't looked at it, if you haven't had business flexibility on your pricing lately, please go back and look at your pricing. That could be the thing holding people back when they talk to you on the phone, hang up, and you never hear from them again. Thanks for listening. If you got value out of this, please rate and review the podcast. That helps us stay on the air. Head over to our YouTube channel, Grow My Officiant Business, and for free resources and to keep up with what's going on, go to www.growmyofficientbusiness.com. My name's Chad Muncy. Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful day.